Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm here at the Exit Planning Institute conference in Fort Worth, Texas, and with me is Craig West of Succession Plus from Sydney, Australia. And we're talking about the conference that's going on here at Exit Planning Institute, and it's a great chance for a lot of advisors to come together and learn more about how to become better exit planners. And Craig is one of the premier exit planners. As a matter of fact, he won an award for the Exit Planner of the Year. Craig, welcome, and congratulations on your award.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
Well, you know, one of the things we like to do first is to give our listeners a sense of who they're listening to. So tell us a little bit about you and your history and your background.
Yeah, sure. So I started in my work career as an accountant, CPA in public practice, working with business owners, preparing the normal compliance, tax returns, all that sort of stuff. I then did a master's in tax law, which was mainly focused around capital gains tax, particularly relating to sale of business. So I did a lot of letters of advice for business owners on the capital gains tax they would have to pay and how to minimize that and what they could do about that when they sold. But as a result of doing that, I actually saw a large number of transactions that were really badly managed. Mm-hmm. So business owners that sold at the wrong time, sold for the wrong price, sold to the wrong person, had their structure incorrect, so they paid too much tax, tried to transition to family members and didn't get that right, and the business failed. So over time, I really basically decided that tax was important and someone had to do that, but it wasn't going to be me. Mm-hmm. It was about really, how do I help those people prepare better for an exit? And I didn't even call it exit planning in those days. This is sort of 2005 or six, when I really realized people needed help, business owners needed help working out how to get out.
Yeah, so at that point, these guys are just, they're doing the wrong things at the wrong time and not getting good advice early enough, so they end up paying through the nose for taxes.
Absolutely, and I also saw them selling for way under value, but I saw no one actually helping them. What I saw was a lot of people giving them advice after the event. So someone would do the tax return and say, oh, you got to pay a lot of tax. Mm-hmm. Well, why didn't you tell him that a year ago and fix it, rather than just tell them there's a problem?
Right. And that happened. That obviously happens a lot. So at that point, you realize that the business owners need help and you're someone who could expand your offerings to help those business owners. So what was your process to try to find a group you could work with that had a process for exit planning?
Yeah, so I'd recently sold the accounting practice to a firm of business coaches and largely exited that and really then started the research plan. So I started to have a look around. What is this thing called? Who does it? What do you do? How does it work? And I did a lot of reading. I did a lot of talking to other advisors, mainly accountants, CPAs, lawyers, financial planners, business coaches, who all seemed to do little parts of it. But what I found was there was no one actually putting it all together, no one actually coordinating it all, no one managing the whole process. In the course of that research, I found the Exit Planning Institute. And it was in the fairly early days in 2009 and 10, they were running their CEPA program, Certified Exit Planning Advisor program. I enrolled for that, came over to Chicago, spent the week and did that. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really learned there was a whole industry called exit planning and here's how it worked and here's some of the tools they used. And that really, I really got interested in that. That was a fantastic learning opportunity.
So you took it upon yourself to get on a plane for 20 plus hours, right?
Yeah, it was a long trip.
So you really were seeking out, you really were impressed with what you saw with Exit Planning Institute.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the education. I love the people that I met there. They're actually, by fluke, on that particular course, there were four or five other Australians, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. But there were four or five Australians there. There were a lot of other really good people in that course from all over the United States. That were either already working in exit planning or were looking to get into exit planning. I learned a hell of a lot. I found lots of interesting material, lots of new tools. I also met Peter Christman, who was actually conducting a lot of that course at the time. He took me out for dinner. We had a great chat about exit planning and what he thought the business or the industry of exit planning could actually look like. That really intrigued me as well. I got really interested in what that actually meant. And Pete, for those of you that have met him, Pete's a passionate guy. He loves the space. He loves talking about it. And I really got infected by that passion
Yeah, and listeners, you can find Pete Christman's interview on exitcoachradio.com in the archives. He is the original exit coach. He's a heck of a guy, great to listen to, full of knowledge about exit planning.
Absolutely.
And so he kind of gets you inspired to do this exit planning.
Yeah.
So you take this all back to Australia, and what was it like after that? What happened?
Yeah, so I took it all back to Australia, and I think what I learned over here was a fantastic base for what exit planning could look like. And then what I did was actually then design a process around it. I realized a lot of the reasons that business owners weren't doing or weren't going down the road of preparing for exit properly is it's all a black box. So they hear this, I'm going to help you with an exit, and they go, well, what on earth does that mean?
What does it mean? Yeah.
What is that? What are you going to do to me?
Right. And a lot of people say, well, my accountant can help me with that, but they don't realize that it crosses all these disciplinary lines, accounting, legal, operational, financial. And so the accountant may not be well equipped to, certainly for tax strategies, they're well equipped, but for other strategies, they may be a little bit lost. So things gravitate to tax strategies, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's normally their default position. But it's also difficult then for the business owner or the client who's got their accountant on one side, a lawyer telling them something different about the contracts, a financial planner talking to them about something else, and no one's actually coordinating all of that, and they're not following any fixed process. So it's all just happening to them.
So the busy business owner's getting pulled every which way and more confused than ever a lot of times. Yeah. Then they go into what we call bunker mentality, right?
Absolutely. And so what happens is they simply throw their arms up and go, this is all too hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do anything. And they don't. And so they don't have a preparation, they don't have a plan, and they get stuck. And so what should have been a successful exit either doesn't get exited at all or doesn't work well. You know, they sell for the wrong price, they sell at the wrong time, all those things we spoke about before. So what I designed was a detailed process, step by step. It's like a menu that if you follow it from step one to step 21, by the time you get there, you've exited successfully.
I see.
That makes it simple for business owners to understand. It makes it clear to them that there's a path and all they've got to do is follow the path and they'll get to the exit. But it also makes it easy for advisors, exit planners like me, to sit down and say to them, there's a path here. We're not just going through this process that no one's going to explain to you. There's actually a path.
Well, I would imagine most business owners have a process for their business or a series of processes. So they're used to processes, but it's probably comforting to them to know that they can see where they are on the path. It's not just this endless path.
Yeah.
Of fees and advisors and time, you know.
Absolutely, because also while all that's happening, they've still got to run the business. They've still got to do all the day-to-day operational stuff. They've still got to deal with employees and customers and sales and debtors and accounts, and that doesn't stop or go away. So the fact that there's a process and a path actually makes it easier for them to focus on that while they still run the business.
Now, you took all this back to Australia, and were you still a solo practitioner at that time?
Yeah.
And then from there, you've taught a lot of people how to become, or you have a lot of SIPAs, actually, people that are certified now. How did you build your practice from there? Because did you just find an incredible, overwhelming need for this planning?
I think there's two parts to it. The first one is there's a large market-driven demand for this process and this outcome. So that's easy to fulfill. When there's a large market demand for any product, it's easy to work in. The second thing was it's far too big a market for me to handle personally, either in Australia or anywhere else in the world, because it's a big demographic issue. So I then asked the exit planning guys, Pete and Rich at the time, could I take the SIPA course back to Australia and start to teach people there? So we started doing that in 2011. And we started with, I think, 6 or 8 people in the first class, and we ran that club. We've done it every year ever since then, and we've gradually grown numbers so that now there's 42 SIPAs in Australia, and there's quite a number of people. There's a couple of people from banks, there's financial planners, there's a couple of accounting firms. None of them really, though, were doing entirely exit planning. A lot of them were accountants that wanted to add exit planning advice to their services, mm-hmm. and banks that wanted to look at how to do that. And there's no problem with any of that. I think it's all the more people that talk about it and get involved with it, the better, as far as I'm concerned. But what also happened was a number of the people that had done the course then came back to me and said, well, you've got a lot of the stuff. You've got a lot of product. You've got a lot of the process. You've got a whole marketing engine running and driving that business. Rather than me start from scratch, and create the wheel, can we just get on board with you? And, you know, Australia's a large place. Geographically, it's the same size as the United States, roughly. And so we've got offices in other states. All of those people, you know, as part of our shareholders agreement in my business, they've all got to be CEPAs. They've got to have done that qualification. So they've got at least a basic understanding of exit planning and how to do it. And so gradually the business has grown. There's now 14 people. We've got an office in every state. And we share marketing and resources and our back office, our factory, if you like, where all the reports are done and the valuations is all centralised in my office in Sydney. But we've got offices in every other state where people actually go out and work with clients to prepare an exit plan.
That's a great story. And we've been hearing about blue ocean strategies here at the conference. And certainly you recognize an opportunity. How many business owners roughly are there in exit planning mode in Australia, do you think?
Yeah, look, the demographics in Australia are exactly the same as they are here. You know, the baby boom was created by World War II. We were involved in that, as was the United States. Our numbers are obviously a couple of zeros short of what you've got here in the United States because it's a much smaller population. But the boom, the graph is exactly the same.
I see.
We've got aging baby boomers right now that own businesses that are looking at retiring. You know, the first baby boomer in Australia and here turned 65 in 2011. They're gradually getting older. Some of those delayed retirement as a result of the GFC because their asset values dropped or their pension, super funds, stock market. But they've all got to retire at some point. And so there are a large number of business owners that are baby boomers that are now looking at retiring. And that's the client base that we're working with. You know, that's the people that need the help.
So it just points out the fact that this is not just a United States-based issue. This is a worldwide issue, and it's happening at the same cadence in different areas like Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, look, I think it's happening in most countries in the world at the moment have a baby boomer population. The big exception to that is China, where for such a long time they had that one baby policy, which meant they didn't have the baby boom that everyone else had. But generally speaking, you know, most countries in the world, the demographics are pretty similar because of the effect of the war. You know, most countries were involved in World War II, so they've got the same problem.
Are there more entrepreneurial businesses in Australia than there are in the United States? Is it a service-based economy, or what kind of economy?
The economy's changed recently. So up until fairly recently, a couple of years ago, it was largely minerals and resource-based mining. We've got a couple of the biggest mining companies in the world are based in Australia. We've got a lot of resources. But that's gradually swinging around because we've got this massive Asian economy very close to Australia, which is demanding things like education and financial services. So it is swinging across to a more service-based economy. In terms of the entrepreneurial culture, I don't think there's a country in the world that's more entrepreneurial than the United States. This is a very, you know, it's the American dream. It's the, you know, there's a strong entrepreneurial culture here. I think there is a strong entrepreneurial culture in Australia, but it's probably not to the same level that there is here.
But still, a lot of small business owners and a lot of private business owners, and they're facing the same aging issues. So tell us a story about not just a client, but tell us a story about some of your advisors who you've opened their eyes to this. You really brought this back to a lot of people, this resource of Exit Planning Institute. And what was their first impression, and how have their lives changed because of learning about Exit Planning Institute?
Yeah, look, I think the big change for me, and certainly for most of my advisors and the people that have done the CEPA program in Australia, or a lot of the people I'd imagine that have done it here, is that you're actually doing something quite tangible that really helps a business owner in terms of their financial and personal lifestyle outcome. So as an accountant, I used to lodge tax returns and I used to lodge lots of other compliance documents. And at the end of the day, you really don't help people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a terrible thing to say for CPAs, but, you know, you're lodging all this stuff. They have to pay you for it, but they're not getting a lot of benefit out of it other than the peace of mind that the tax office is not going to be knocking on their door in the middle of the night.
Right, right.
But you're really not adding a lot of value to their life. But if you can get an exit plan right, and I've got a number of examples where I've worked with clients over 3 to 5 years to really prepare them, their family, their business, their financials, their personal situation for an exit. And if you can achieve that very successfully, you make a substantial difference to that person and their family. And the number of clients where I've been able to do that, I mean, it's one of the most enjoyable things you can do. And you can see you're actually making a tangible difference.
Now, we were talking a little bit about one of the key things that you bring back to business owners when they first meet you is you help them put time back in their life.
Yeah.
Time away from the business. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the biggest misconceptions in this industry, in exit planning, is that it's all about getting maximum dollar for the business owner? Because I actually don't think that's what everyone wants. Now, people do want maximum dollar. They, you know, you've got a business that's worth $3 million and you can sell it for $4 million. Well, why wouldn't you? Now, that's not to say they're not after money or they're not interested in it. They are, obviously. But often you'll find there's things that are more important. Often you'll find when I first meet business owners, the exit and even the valuation that they exit at is completely irrelevant because they say things to me like, you know, I started this business 10 years ago. It was my dream to have my own business. My wife works in it with me. But now 10 years later, I've got 45 employees. I work 95 hours a week. I get phone calls all weekend, all night. I get emails 24/7. I can't get away from it. And they use words
like... The business is running them, in other words.
Yeah, instead of them. And they use words like trapped and stuck and, you know, and so actually to them, whether the business is worth $3 million or $5 million is completely irrelevant. They don't care. What they care about is I'm working 95 hours a week. So if we can find a way, and we can, and what we do a lot is then work with that business owner and actually get them to work 4 days a week. One of the principles that I put into business is, and there's a couple of reasons, but one of the principles is let's get you to work 4 days a week instead of 95 hours. And that means you have to delegate some responsibilities. You have to give people authority and empower people to actually make decisions without you. But that's also quite liberating for the business owner. It's quite liberating for their employee because often you find in that kind of business, the employees actually have got really good ideas. They want to implement them, but they can't because the owner wants to see everything, check everything, read everything, test everything. You know, you've got to do everything through the owner. And from a valuation point of view, it actually fulfills the valuation issue as well because valuable businesses aren't dependent on an owner. So if you can start with that process, you actually free up time, but you also start along the road of improving the value as well.
Great point. So you're helping the business owner indirectly make their business more valuable because they won't rely so much on them. But in the meanwhile, you're giving them what they really want, which is time back.
Absolutely.
And time gives them the opportunity to then think about how they can further grow the business. They're not mired down in the day-to-day.
Yeah. And I've actually had a number of clients, quite a large percentage, that have come back to me at some point after that and said, do you know what? We're actually not going to sell now.
Right. I'm having fun now, right?
Yeah, the reason they wanted to sell was they're working 95 hours, they're trapped in the business. When you make it fun and it's still making good money, but now you're only working 4 days a week, you know, well, actually, I don't need to sell this. I'm going to keep going like this. And that's actually, I'm not sure about here, but it's certainly in Australia a trend now with this semi-retirement, where in the old, you know, my dad's generation, you either worked or you retired. You didn't do a bit of both. Now there's a lot of people, including business owners, that are doing a bit of both. So they work 3 or 4 days a week, they go for a long weekend away to the holiday house or something on the coast. And that is quite a sustainable lifestyle well past 65. So the old view that you turn 65, you retire, has changed a little bit because there's semi-retirement, which means people can work till 70 or 75 because they're not working stupid hours, they're not stressed, still making good money.
So if to put it in a runner's terms, you're taking them from a full-on sprint to a productive jog where they can sustain that, be productive with their time, delegate more, be happier, have more time, and they can sustain that for much longer. That means they don't have to leave where they are. You know, there's nothing happier than a part-time chairman of a business, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Absolutely. So now, what's the future for Succession Plus? What do you see happening in the next few years with that?
Well, we've basically got offices now in each capital city in Australia. We're expanding there. We've got a really solid base of young, smart people working in our back office that are producing the reports and doing the analysis and working with our clients. And that's quite a sustainable model. We follow the same model, so my staff work from home regularly. We don't keep timesheets. I'm not interested in whether they turn up at 9 and leave at 5. I think that's completely irrelevant and very old-fashioned way to run a business. So from that point of view, in Australia, we've sort of got a model that we've been able to replicate. What we're doing now is actually bringing the model across to the United States as well. So we've now got with Chris Schneider and Mike Fisher, both of whom are heavily involved in the Exit Planning Institute, we've now started a business called Aspire Plus, working out of Cleveland to start with as a bit of a pilot. There's obviously some of the Australian methodology and some of the more basic stuff like spelling and grammar that changes when we bring it over here. So we've changed some of that material and we're now piloting that in Cleveland. And the view will be that we'll roll out those offices fairly quickly in the United States. You know, it's such a big market for us. But I think we have got a process and a methodology that works. I don't think there's any reason why it can't work as well here as it does in Australia. And I'm actually pretty excited about bringing it over here and you know, seeing it work over here as well.
Now, how important is it in your life that you joined Exit Planning Institute? And what would you say to anybody who's out there thinking, you know, maybe I should get involved with Exit Planning Institute, but I'm just not sure?
Yeah, look, I think the course itself, the SEPA course, was probably the best week of my life in terms of business and learning around what I was trying to do. It really answered a lot of questions for me. But I also, you know, the level that I take it to, you know, the SEPA course, in my business, we have a shareholders agreement because we've got different partners in different states. It's mandatory that they do that course. It's not, you know, you should go and do this. I tell them you have to do it. To be part of my business, you have to do it. I've actually got, I think of the 42 SEPAs in Australia, 14 of them work for me.
Wow.
So, and it's, you know, it's a requirement. The young people, I've got young people that are still part-time at uni studying law or accounting. They've done the SEPA course as well. I think it's really important that people get their head around exit planning. It's such a different model. You know, you can go to university and work as an accountant like I did for 20 years. You know a lot about accounting, but you don't know a lot about exit planning. It's a completely different discipline. I also think, you know, there's quite a collegial atmosphere. There's lots of really good, smart, experienced people here. And, you know, me or anyone else that's involved, that anyone that thinks they know everything or they've learned everything, you know, they're wrong.
Yeah. And these types of conferences are interesting in that you have multiple disciplines. You have people that specialize in accounting and tax, or excuse me, accounting in law, in financial services, in M&A and operations. And in all the sessions, they're all nodding their head the same way at the same time, which is quite unusual.
Absolutely.
So it's a collaborative, it's a way to meet great people and learn about all the disciplines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the important things. There's lots of people in the Exit Planning Institute. You know, I spent half an hour yesterday with Scott Miller, one of the EPI faculty who teaches valuation. And, you know, he's a really smart guy. But he also understands exit planning. So he's a very, very deep expertise in valuation, but he also has a very good understanding of exit planning. And so for him, valuation is a tool that you can use as part of exit planning. Now, to be able to spend half an hour with someone like that, I asked him five or six questions. I got fantastic answers that I can actually use in my business. Now, you don't get that walking down the street every day.
Right. Oh, it's fantastic. So it's a great use of time for people that want to really concentrate their learning, meet great people, and your recommendation has come to the meetings. And
absolutely. I think it's, you know, I've come a long way.
You have come a long way.
And I do it again next week because I think it's really valuable. I always learn. You know, I've got a notebook I bring with me everywhere. I've made pages and pages of notes already in 1.5 days. So, you know, I think there's a lot to learn. There's a lot of good people that you can share knowledge with, ask questions about. I think the other important point to note is, you know, particularly being from Australia, but even in the United States, the economy's opening up. You know, there's lots of businesses in Australia that have got offices in the States. There's lots of Australian businesses that have got investments here, a lot of American companies, and even private equity firms are now looking at international deals as much as they used to look at local deals. And so, you know, you need to be aware of. So it really helps me to have contacts here in the United States who are advisors, who work with private equity firms, because I can't come here every day and talk to people, but I can certainly ring Chris Schneider or Sean Hutchinson and say, Sean, I've got a deal. Who do you know? It's in this marketplace or it's in this industry. I think that's a benefit as well. These international connections, you know, the world economy is opening up a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, so no, it's a great
point. That's a good benefit as well.
It's a great point. It's important to be well-connected these days and to be able to expose yourself to all these strategies and quickly, because you have a busy business to run too. How do our listeners find out more about Succession Plus and about what you're doing?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of resources on our website. So the website's just successionplus.com.au. There's a lot of resources there. I've got a blog there as well. We've got a Twitter feed. We do a lot of social media, and that's an interesting trend in itself that sort of really picked up. There's a lot of conversations now on social media about exiting, about ESOPs, about valuation. So certainly the website's the first port of call, social media as well. And I'm very happy to talk to any of people who want to drop me an email or send me a message. I'm happy to set up a Skype call and have a chat to anybody.
Great. So if you want to learn more about a process that works and someone who's followed it and has built a successful practice, get in touch with Craig West, Succession Plus. And from Sydney, Australia, he is the winner of the Exit Planner of the Year Award from the Exit Planning Institute. And thanks very much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure.
Pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.